Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, I thought they just did a nice job, man. You got to give those guys credit. They had some timing inside breaking routes, man. The quarterback was highly accurate on play pass, turning his back to the defense and coming up and throwing. And sometimes you got to give credit to the opponent, and I certainly do in this instance.
It's Mike Tomlin after the Bears beat the Steelers 31-28, and he's talking about Caleb Williams. He threw for 239 yards, three touchdowns, no picks. He did fumble in the end zone, which led to a Steelers touchdown. Steelers got a couple turnovers, but I guess they need six to beat teams with winning records because they still lost 31-28. And that DJ Moore, we were talking off the air, DJ Moore, he couldn't have been more open on that second touchdown. Mason Rudolph, 171 yards, one touchdown, one pick. I guess he was okay.
He was okay.
Kenneth Gainwell rushed for 92 yards. Like, what's the takeaway from the Steelers for today?
They can't give up that many points. I mean, and look, the Caleb Williams, Chicago Bears fourth quarter thing keeps happening. And good on the Ravens for not letting it happen to them. But Watt obviously puts points on the board for the defense, and that's huge. But it's not nearly an efficient enough, menacing enough, potent enough defense. It's just not. I thought it'd be one of the best in the NFL. It's anything but.
It's one of the worst. Stats don't lie. They're 28th overall, 31st against the pass, 27th on third down, 20th in points per game. Five of their 11 games, they've given up over 30 points. That's horrible.
That's not, yeah.
Five of their 11 games, they've given up over 30 points. But I do want to focus on the offense for a second. And you mentioned Gainwell, Ken. He finished with 92, 55 of it coming off one run. You take that out of it. Their ground game was nothing, and the Bears, they were down there, their seventh string linebacker. They were so
no linebackers, no corners.
And they couldn't run the football. Jaylen Warren, he had 18 carries, 68 yards. They can't run the football.
No, they can't. And look, people aren't going to let them run the football because they don't respect their pass game. I mean, there's one guy who showed up the first month of the season, Metcalf, and then it's like, all right, well, we'll stop the run. We'll keep an eye on him, and we'll see what else emerges. And nothing else has emerged. The occasional jump ball to Darnell Washington. Even Jonnu hasn't done anything. You look at Jonnu, what he did last year. In that Miami broken offense compared to this. I mean, they're handing it off to Metcalf now, and you might as well. He's got a rushing touchdown, right? But, like, look, they're pretty good at one thing.
Turnovers.
Well, and therefore winning a game or two more than we lose, which will keep you in it till the very end.
Well, it's just, I feel like I say this every single week when talking about this. They can't score if they don't get turnovers. And they add 28 points, seven of it coming from the defense, so 21 points against the Bears defense that was without a lot of starters. And defensively, if they aren't getting turnovers, they're getting shredded.
So they take on the Bills on Sunday, 4:25 game in Pittsburgh, and Tomlin's already said Aaron Rodgers will be back for that one.
Yeah. I don't think that's to the rescue, but It's clear he couldn't have played in that game. And how about him running around flipping everybody off?
That was good.
He's a loser. Good.
Yeah. He is a loser. He's a loser.
Let's go to the
like if you walk around on the field before a game and the camera people are allowed there, like what plan are you? You've been in the league 20 years. Stop.
He wanted that.
Of course he wanted that because he knew it would get to the Bears fans. And whether he played or not, that's his way of showing.
Yeah, I own you. Yeah,
Oh, well. No, you don't.
Let's get to Cincinnati, Ravens' next opponent. They play him Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. Patriots beat the Bengals 26-20. Both quarterbacks threw pick sixes in this game. Yeah. It was a closer game than I expected, and I thought that I thought Vrabel did the Bengals a little bit of favor. The Trayvon Henderson takes him down to the 1 yard line, and he brings in Ramondre Stevenson and Henderson didn't get another carry. They end up turning it over on downs.
Look, but if the Bengals are taking anything from this, they're probably saying, "Hey, that was a really efficient offense with a quarterback who's lit people up, and we made it tough for them to score touchdowns. They bowed up in the red zone, which is something that defense hasn't done all year." So I don't know how much of that carries over. I mean, look, the Bengals season is a lost cause, so maybe it's nothing. But I was surprised that the Patriots couldn't finish drives against them because they've been finishing drives this year. I do think Chase Brown is a little bit woken up, and I think Chase Brown's going to be a problem for the Ravens in a couple of different ways with Burrow stepping in there. I mean, again, Flacco, once you ride that for 5 or 6 weeks.
It's done.
Yeah. He's got, you know what I mean? Like he got that reboot after he left with the trade. But you try to get more than 4 or 5 games out of him, he's going to start hitting the wall
again. His age shows,
Like pick six is bad.
I will mention, if the Ravens tight ends don't go off against Cincinnati, they're never going off. The Patriots
but
they had 10 catches for over 150 yards, the Patriots tight ends did in this game.
Yeah, I mean, remember, Loveland went crazy in the game against the Bears where they somehow still managed to win. And that was one of the ones where the Bengals scored 38 and lost, I think, at home. Yeah, I mean, they should, but I'm not convinced that they will. That's why I put it in the six-pack. They should be taking games over, but...
The other divisional team, the Browns, they get a win. Shedeur Sanders wins his first start. He throws a touchdown pass. Quinshon Judkins has a couple of touchdown runs. Miles Garrett, 3 more sacks. The Raiders are the worst team in all of football. They're a mess. They fired their offensive coordinator, who they paid $6 million a year, Chip Kelly, after the game. Browns win 24-10.
I mean, I thought Shedeur was gutsy. I thought he was a gamer. That was what it was going to be. The defense seemed fired up to play for him. The things they said about him after the game coming out of the locker room, it didn't seem like he was turning off his teammates. I don't think the coach believes in him at all. I don't think the coach wanted him there. The coach put off playing him as long as he possibly could. And then they win. They do something the coach hadn't been able to do the last 13 times he went on the road with whoever the quarterback is, which is win a game on the road. So
now it's at the start already.
Yeah, well, I mean, if he wouldn't have, it would have been a mutiny.
Yeah.
But the way he talked after the game, he clearly, it wasn't like he came out after the game and was like, "Hey, I don't care that it didn't look great all the time. That kid helped us do something we haven't done in a calendar year. So, you know, we got to get a longer look at this." He was equivocating left and right.
Something that was a breath of fresh air if you're a Browns fan. You finally got a guy that's going to push
the ball
down the field. Dylan Gabriel just was allergic to doing that. And we also got to point out, Miles Garrett, he's going to blow by the sack.
They had 10 sacks as a team yesterday.
He's going to blow
Browns.
By the sack.
Oh, yeah. I saw
something.
Michael Strahan went on Fox's post game and basically said, I've enjoyed holding this record, but it's over. It's over. Did you see that Jerry Jeudy fumble? This game could have been even worse for the Raiders.
Yeah.
Like, what was he doing? He slowed down. He's got all this open space, and then he gets stripped from behind. That was a brain fart on a football field.
Totally unrelated, but it just made me think of weird plays. Did you see Jameis' touchdown?
Yes, it's fantastic.
That was so
fantastic.
Cool.
It
was so cool.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah, breaks a tackle.
Damn near won that game. I mean, they gave the Lions all they could have.
Yes, they did. Jameis will do that. How about the other part, since you mentioned that game? How about Russ going out for the coin toss at overtime? I guess he's good for something. Helmet on.
Didn't work out. I mean, is he good for something? They lost. Lions got the ball. He's got a use.
I guess he's got
but
a
how
use.
How about Jameis brought him all the way down the field? Like, Jameis, they had a chance to win that thing.
Yeah. A Raven for life, Jermaine Illuminor, not happy after the game, after he gave up that sack, and he didn't like Hutchinson dancing. He said, I cook that guy the whole game. He gets one sack. He starts dancing. Alas.
That's how it works.
Yeah, exactly. Coming up next here on the program, we'll get a little Orioles in. They tendered Ryan Mountcastle. Well, what's he going to be on this damn roster this year? I know Taylor Ward introduced to the media. We'll get to some of that next week. But Ryan Mountcastle, is he here when the season begins? What's his role? We hit the hot corner now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Next year, I'm a fan. So we found out late on Friday that the Orioles were tendering Ryan Mountcastle. They tendered Yennier Cano as well. But I guess the question becomes, what the heck is Ryan Mountcastle's role on this baseball team? Is it guaranteed he's still here come when they start playing games for real in, what, late March?
I still don't see a role for him. I'm not one to sit here and defend not spending money, because Lord knows they don't do nearly enough of it. But this is one where it might have just been addition by subtraction. I mean, you could always hold out hope that a team suffers an injury somewhere in spring training. I don't think he's going to make it on this roster till then. But look, I mean, it's not like you're paying him money in the offseason. So I guess they figured to squat on the asset for $8 million and maybe eventually you package him with something else. I would think the salary doesn't help you, but maybe they're willing to eat some of the salary in order to facilitate a trade. Maybe a team does have a rash of injuries to its, you know, first baseman and DH. I just don't think he plays baseball for them this season. At the end of the day, whenever he's gone.
I would be very surprised, but quite frankly, I was very surprised that him, Ryan O'Hearn, Kobe Mayo, and Nestor Kjerstad were all on the team last year. When it comes to Mountcastle, though, he's coming off his worst year, and the injuries and the vertigo over the past couple of years, and last year, he couldn't even hit lefties, .598 OPS. When Ryan Mountcastle's at his best, he absolutely crushes left-handed pitching. He can't be taking away at-bats from a Kobe Mayo, from a Samuel Basayo, from insert veteran bat here at first base. I just don't see it anymore. Now, the one scenario, and even this seems a little off too, is if you trade Kobe Mayo, do you just ride it out with Mountcastle? That's the only situation.
That's it. And I hate to give these guys the benefit of the doubt because we've documented over the last couple of years they don't deserve it. But, and I mean the front office. The only thing that makes sense is either they trade Mayo or he's part of a package deal later. And they've shown a willingness to eat some money to trade some guys in the past. They trumpet that. They're like, oh, the ownership has said we can eat this, we can eat that. Those are the only things that make sense to me in the moment.
When we were talking about this in a vacuum a week ago, they hadn't made the Ward trade yet. And there was all the rumors that they might add a bat. So you're thinking if they do that. Now, I never believed it, but if you want to believe what the Orioles are spoon-feeding, on background to reporters, then you would have said, well, I could see them walking away from him because that $8 million is going to be put towards a real bat that they're going to get in free agency. We now know none of that's happening. They're renting a 32-year-old for $13 million, so the $8 million isn't that big of a deal. And if you're going to trade Mayo or Heston or whatever to clear things up on the right side, so be it. Maybe it's also insurance if you do end up trading Beavers. I don't think they're going to, but people were throwing that out there, alleging they were going to get a real bat and then you trade Beavers. This would be another way to keep another, right-sided bat, not I'm talking about someone who would play right field or first base or DH in the mix. My fear is if they can't get value for him or what they deem to be value for him and he is on the roster, and he's making $8 million.
He's playing.
What I told you last year when you guys are like, they won't play him. Like, when he comes back, I'm like, no. When he comes back, he's going to play because the owner's going to be like, well, this guy's making, there's only one guy on the team making more than him who's a hitter, and that guy never plays because he's always hurt. So you're telling me this guy's not, we're going to pay this guy, and he's never going to play either? So be cognizant of that.
Yeah. The path to play time with him is just so, because DH is, O'Neill's going to DH, Big Sam's going to DH, maybe Mayo when he doesn't play for, I just don't see the avenue for playtime unless you're really trying to shove, a square peg into a round hole, which I guess I wouldn't put
Again, they shock me, but I'd be shocked if he's here come opening day.
I would too.
I think he's going to be part of some
if
other
he's here.
He's playing.
He's playing. I agree.
I'd agree with that. I don't think he's here. And frankly, color me a little shocked that they tendered him in the first place.
Yeah, a little bit. And that, it's fine. You protect the asset, whatever. I also think it's interesting now that we've had, we had the chance last week to have Mark Feinsand on with us. We had Jim Duquette on with us late in the week. Nobody's buying any of this Tucker Bellinger stuff.
No. No.
Nobody's buying it for more than what it was. It was a plant with the media to make you think we want to do this, and then we're really going to just do our Taylor Ward thing. But hey, we were investigating all that stuff. Give us a cookie and a medal.
I will say Jim's gives a little more credence to the Alonzo of it all, and he alluded to it when he was on with us. I think Eric Geddy's pushing, and we'll see if anything comes to it. But Michael Eric Geddy is the minority owner who's second most. He owns the second most part of the team, and he's eventually going to be the full owner. And it sounds like behind the scenes, he wants them to spend, but he's not in charge. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah. I mean, look, this whole idea of wanting, hey, I'm going to take less of my cut of the profits and I'm going to put it back into the team. And so how much do you think Alonzo's worth? Well, I think he's worth $10 million more than that. So I'll make it happen. They're able to move money around to buy the Magna Carta, right? Yeah. They're able to sell ski chalets for $20 million.
Yes.
So, I don't want to hear about it. He wants it. He doesn't want it. Like, these people all have the wherewithal to go and do whatever they want, whenever they want it, right? They want a new plane. They're not quibbling about that. They're buying a new plane.
But his point is he's not the decision maker.
Yeah, I understand that. But if he wants to, he's not the decision maker. Like, hey, boss, I'll subsidize it. Take it out of my cut of the profit. Take it out of my, whatever.
Well, maybe that's what happens.
Okay.
I think the Taylor Ward move just kind of signals that they're going to spend their money on pitching.
Well, listen to what Elias is saying now, out loud to the media after this signing.
Yeah. He said they're still looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Still looking.
No, you're always looking. You're just never spending.
Yeah. They're looking. Hey, coming up next, and we had Charles Davis on last week. Charles Davis, his crew with Andrew Catalan, and was it Jason McCourty, AJ Ross, they had the Ravens back-to-back week. So now he's seen the Ravens. They won both games against Cleveland and against the Jets. What does Charles Davis think of the Ravens as they move forward? Charles Davis joins us next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
You're on the Fan. Ravens beat the Jets 23-10. They've won five in a row and are now over 500 at 6-5. But just how good are they? Let's go out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline and talk to a man who has called their last two games as part of CBS's crew for covering the Ravens against the Browns and also the Jets. It's Charles Davis. And Charles, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So you have a unique view. You've watched them 2 weeks in a row. They're 6-5. They're in first place. But in your opinion, just how good are they?
First of all, hello, guys. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and everyone can hear our voice. Roster-wise, they're very good, but the offense isn't playing to that capability at the moment for various reasons that you guys, I know, are talking about and articulating as you go. It just doesn't seem like they are as in sync in everything they're trying to do as one would expect. But I also think that for all the criticism that the offensive line is getting, and there's plenty to be deserved, don't get me wrong now, I think Lamar Jackson took some of the pressure off of them in the past by his escape routes out of the pocket where he would just dash and go, and a potential sack or pressure turned into a 15, 20-yard run, et cetera. And that's just not happening right now. So if that's not happening, any issues you have with an offensive line and protection and other things that go along with it are probably going to get magnified. So I hope that doesn't sound like criticism, because it's not. It's just a reality of what my eyes are telling me, and that is Lamar Jackson's not 100% in terms of health. And it's okay if he says that's not the issue. It's okay if the Ravens say that's not the issue. What would we expect them to say, right? But you guys have watched him play way more games than I have, but I've seen him play plenty. What I've seen in the last 2 weeks is not anything, I shouldn't say anything close, because that's wrong. But it's not the style that we're used to him playing, even as he has told us all that, hey, I'm trying to evolve a little bit. I don't plan to run as much as I used to. But there are times when still being able to escape, being able to climb a pocket, being able to dash and get out of the way, it's just not there. And I'll leave it with this, guys. Please tell me if you think I'm wrong, because I'd like to be educated. No. I thought yesterday there were a few opportunities where I thought he actually went to hit the gas.
And wasn't there.
And it just wasn't there.
Yep.
Completely agree, Charles. And maybe in years past you could really lean on this ground game, but that hasn't looked the same either. And you mentioned the offensive line struggles, Charles, but Derrick Henry, 21 carries for 64 yards yesterday against the Jets. What's been off about their ground game?
I just didn't see any real, you know, at the end of it, did you see much joy in Derrick Henry's face? I mean, there's just much of a slog all day yesterday. So what do I think is wrong? I think they're not getting the push that you would expect them to get up front. I really think that there's a lot of plays yesterday. And again, please, you know, this is group participation for all of us, right? What I saw yesterday was a number of times where the line of scrimmage just didn't change. Like, at best, it was neutral. And there was penetration off the edges. There's penetration in the interior. And it just gums up the works. So Patrick Ricard is a great lead blocker. I counted in my head two or three times where I was actually really watching, because you guys know he carries you to the fight a lot of the time, right? So if you just key Ricard, that's where the fight's going to occur, where he ends up. Not as much as it used to, but still plenty. And there was times when he took the fight to someone, but behind him, there was so much leakage and penetration that Henry wasn't thundering behind 42, who had cleared someone. Someone else had got him from behind, so the 42 threw a nice block. But guess what? Plays dead behind him. And previously, we weren't having a lot of that. Things were clean to that point. And then Ricard, when he got up to the second, third level, there was Henry almost with a hand on number 42's back. Let's go. Let's keep going. He just could never quite get there, because I just saw the number of plays were being made in the interior behind him.
I just can't get my head around, Charles, for an offense that's this accomplished. And I know that lately they haven't been. Boy, they come out to start these games, and it seems like it's lethargy to me rather than energy. It seems like it's passivity rather than aggression. The way they come out of the huddle, the way they are just sort of aimlessly burning clock. I just, like in my notes, I'm writing tempo, tempo, energy. Like, I don't know where it is. I don't know how they get it back. And I know that Lamar's their life source, and he's, I don't know, 60%, 65%. But I kind of feel like that's a big part of the missing equation here as well. And I don't know if they need to change up personnel and go to more of a two-minute look to try to just, like, sort of facilitate the urgency that comes inherently in certain game situations. But I'm not liking the body language.
Yeah, it was interesting. It's interesting with your observation, because we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I opined that, you know, and look, it's not any opinion that people couldn't really catch or see if you're watching or at the game. It was a crowd that was waiting for something to happen. Mm. It was a restless crowd. It was a not even really upset as much as it was kind of boring.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they needed an explosive play. And the first play that got the crowd going was Jordan Stout's punt. I mean, if you really think about it, right? I'm trying not to over exaggerate. But Stout's punt kind of brought people into it. And then they've got a couple of plays. Zay Flowers got something going and what have you. But for the most part, a team that relies on beating you up, grinding you, and then hitting you with explosive plays that the crowd is used to, those just weren't there. And I totally get your point about, hey, do you speed things up, go to a quicker tempo, all of that. There are times that I think that that makes perfect sense. But I also think what you're trying to avoid is if you go to that and you're not operating at really good efficiency, you go really fast three and out.
Yeah.
You put your defense right back out on the field. Mm-hmm. And right now, I don't think they really want to do that. The defense is playing pretty darn well, but you don't want to put them in a position where they got to play more plays, because we've had it. BK is not coming back. You know, lost some key guys along the way, and he's got to be real careful with that. Kyle Hamilton went out twice. And the second one, I have no idea what's going to happen with the ankle or a foot or whatever it was that he hurt late in the ball game, and how that'll affect him about being ready to go out Thursday night.
Talking with Charles Davis, Inside Access here on the Fan. Well, let's talk about that defense. And they haven't given up more than 20 points in a game since October the 5th. Thursday is Thanksgiving, so that's a decent chunk of change of time there. Yep. You've seen them now twice in a row. How good do you think this defense is?
I think they're pretty darn good. But can you do me a favor, please?
Sure.
In that 5-0 run, can you name the teams that they beat in the 5-0 run?
We're aware.
Yeah. The only decent one is Chicago. Well, they were lost to the Rams.
Bears score points.
Yeah.
And the Bears score points. That's big. Who else?
Rams. Dolphins. Yeah. Well, they lost to the Rams.
Yeah. But the defense turned around.
Defense held them to 17 there. Yeah. But Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, and Jets.
Yeah, and you know, all I'm saying is you can make the case with all of them, because, look, we thought the Vikings would be better this year, right? I'm not gonna sit here and lie to you. The Dolphins, I never had thinking they were gonna be that great. I didn't think they'd be as bad as they've been at times, and they actually have a chance to start playing pretty well, don't they? The Bears are really coming along now. Like, that would be a heck of a matchup to play them right now. They're really playing well, but Ben Johnson's done a tremendous job. The Browns, they're abysmal on offense. You know, I know Shedeur Sanders and yesterday and the whole deal, but they're not very good on offense. You know, I'm waiting to see them down the stretch, these division games, right? And then they got New England and God, there's somebody
Green,
else.
Green Bay.
You know, this is going to tell the tale of what's going on. But do I think that defense is good and legit? I really do. And to no one's surprise, they picked up a veteran guy midseason who's going to have an impact. And right now, it certainly looks like Draymond Jones is that guy, doesn't it?
He's been great.
Well, let's spin it forward. And you just said the schedule. You got the Bengals twice, the Steelers twice, Patriots at home, and at Green Bay. They have an identical record as Pittsburgh. Still have to play them twice, obviously. Do you expect this Ravens team to end up winning the AFC North?
I do. I absolutely do. And look, I think a good number of us called it. You guys probably called it. The whole world kind of looked at things. When Pittsburgh, going to my pro wrestling terms, right? Since Pittsburgh didn't put a sleeper hold on the division when they had a chance, you just kind of said, boy, you guys really blew it. You had the Ravens at 1-5 and beat up. And Pittsburgh kicked back a couple of games. I would consider games they should have won. Like, you can make a case Green Bay coming in and beating them is not a major surprise. But I could make the case for some other games, like, seriously? You let that go? And they did. Like Cincinnati on a Thursday night at Cincinnati this year. You better go get that one, right? So they didn't. So once we saw that, it's no major surprise that we are where we are right now. Like, we're on, okay. And if Pittsburgh is fortunate, it'll come down to Sunday night in week 18. That kind of has the look of that could easily be the Sunday night game, because you guys know the last week of the season, Sunday Night Football wants to do a game and send someone to the playoffs, right? That could very well be for the division championship and a one-bid division. One team goes to the playoffs, winner take all. That has the shapings of it. But I'm just going to go back to last year, guys, when Baltimore left Pittsburgh after the first meeting last year. Pittsburgh kicked 6 field goals and beat them. That was 8 of 9 in regular season, if I remember correctly. And out of those 9 games, wouldn't you say Baltimore had a better roster the vast majority of those games?
Yeah.
So all I kept saying was, if Baltimore ever breaks through, and I thought when they did break through, they would smash Pittsburgh and then be done with that part of it. And they did. Second game in the regular season, and then again in the playoffs, and they jumped out with both feet. So the Pittsburgh mystique is just not there for Baltimore anymore. You don't have to worry about that part. If they are as healthy as they've been during the season to go into these Pittsburgh games, I think they win this division. And that's with the New England game and the Green Bay game notwithstanding. Because I just don't see Pittsburgh getting on a run no matter what their schedule is.
Charles Davis, always great talking to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time the last 2 weeks. You have yourself a great Thanksgiving.
You guys do the same. Enjoy yourself.
Thanks so much. Hey, coming up next, we get to the Lamar Jackson of it all. And what do we think of Lamar? And how concerned are we about him as we move forward? That's next here on The Fan. So that's John Harbaugh after the game when asked, is he confident in Lamar Jackson to bounce back? And he had the utmost confidence. Now, Jason, before I ask you the question, I do want to point out a few numbers. So he's completed less than 60% of his passes for the third straight game. They had 241 yards of offense. That was the lowest in a game started by Lamar Jackson since week 3 of 2020. And for the first time ever, he's had back-to-back games where he did not account for a touchdown. So yeah. With that in mind, do you have the utmost confidence that we'll see some reasonable facsimile of MVP Lamar Jackson again this year?
No, I mean, I told you guys, I don't think his legs are a part of the equation until he gets a whole lot healthier, and I don't know how he's going to get healthier in a stretch where he just went from having to play once in 2.5 weeks to now having to play twice in 4 days. Like, I don't know how you could watch that game and feel any better about him from a physical ability standpoint. I don't know how you could watch that game and not feel worse. That doesn't mean they still can't win games. That doesn't mean he can't be more efficient passing the ball. But I think the pendulum needs to swing to other people for the first time in 4 or 5 years, being able to pick him up. He's got a lot of people paid. He's done a lot of special things here. He's made a lot of these teams, frankly, probably look a lot better than they are. And this is one of those situations where I think we're going to find out a whole lot more about what really was been going on with him physically, like not until after the season. But like, you can take it back to the way they handled that injury report. You could try to sell me on, oh man, I've been doing my job 20 years and he's been doing his job 20 years. And even the PR guy's been doing his job 20 years, but none of us know how this works. Or like, it's symptomatic of some larger issues, which is they collectively as an organization have been trying to probably keep a lot of things super in-house about how limited Lamar really is, about the physical state of the knee and the hamstring and the ankle and maybe a couple things we don't even know about.
But
like, they've been in do-or-die mode forever, since before he got hurt almost, and certainly since he got hurt in Arrowhead. And he is getting caught repeatedly from behind in the pocket and outside the pocket. When he tries to get elusive, the rare occasions when he does try to extend plays outside the pocket, it doesn't look anything like it's looked in the past. And I don't think it's because he's holding himself back or he's saving it for when it really, it's just not there. He is a wounded bird right now.
Yeah, and I brought it up when the knee injury happened, and then there's been an ankle injury since then. I don't know if we see that guy again this season. I hope that we do, but there's no certainty that we will. And I think fans sort of need to adjust expectations from this group in terms of they're going to have to win games a lot differently than they have under Lamar Jackson with how he's currently playing. And you saw it yesterday against the Jets. That was a throwback, ugly game where you were playing field position, where your punter had the game of his life. 70-some yard punt, averaging 61.5 yards.
74
per
yarder and a 68
yeah,
yarder.
Like, yeah. Like pretty that good. Went a long way to helping win this football game. And when you're talking about a punter with a Lamar Jackson led offense, it's weird, but that's where they find themselves right now. And heck, I can remember Jason when he didn't come back for the Chicago game. Some fans or people on Twitter wondering, oh, is Lamar tapping out? remember that logic in the Chiefs game? He's tapping out against Patrick Mahomes. We took calls where people were saying that. Lamar is a lot more hurt than he's letting on. And he's saying all the right things because he's not using it as a crutch. John Harbaugh saying he has the utmost confidence. We're going to see that, Lamar. Of course he's going to say that because he's got to support his guy. But behind closed doors, Harbs, Lamar, Monken, you have to operate this football team a heck of a lot differently than you have, because this is not the same number eight, and it's not the same offense because you don't have the guy that puts on the cape.
Here's the thing that is most concerning to me, and it might be just the fact the injuries are bothering him so much. He's getting worse. The second half against the Dolphins, he was really good. The Vikings game, I thought he played better than the numbers show. Browns and Jets, he's been terrible.
He was off for a month, and now he's playing every week again, and now he's playing in less than a week. Yeah. So, like,
He's been, frankly, bad the last two games.
I'm very curious what he looks like on a short week this week, because we haven't seen that yet.
No. Nope.
And coming off a rough game against the Jets, what does this look like in a division game on a short week?
So we're obviously concerned about Lamar Jackson. What about Jonas Schaefer? How concerned is he about Lamar moving forward? He, of course, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, and he joins us next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.